It just indicates more crisis that's in our culture. It's everywhere, and I personally believe that trickles right on down to the family unit. And so, what God wants and what God desires most is for the families in the kingdom, the family of God, to be so healthy, so strong, so united, and so in love with one another and Him that they can't be separated, and then they become the model of the world. It's always said, I hear this said a lot, that the sermon that most people will read is your life. The sermon that most people will read is our lives. And so it's really important that we begin to live lives that communicate such a powerful love story and such a powerful story of redemption. And with our families, it starts there in how our children... That's an awesome sound. Somebody should record that and make a song out of it. So let's start here tonight. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, what's it say? That's strong. This is from the Message. I normally don't use the Message because it seems a bit like somebody is like paraphrasing, and I guess that's what it is, right, Pastor Wiley? But so I normally don't use it because this is pretty powerful. It says that he is a liar. It says if he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? That's really powerful. So what God is saying to us, and I wanted to communicate this to you with a little illustration. The power of connection. The power of connection. If I were to take this piece of paper and write on... I brought two pieces of paper in case I spelled it wrong. But if I were... So if I put Jesus on this side, and then I put family on the other side. Jesus on this side, family on this side. We have to understand that what I don't know what happened. Oh, you got it. That what Jesus is suggesting here, if you could put that scripture reference back up, what Jesus is suggesting here is that there's only one of two things happening. We're either connecting with one another and Him, or we're disconnecting. There's either connection or disconnection. So if I were to take this and then tear it up, you see, there's only one way I could put the puzzle back together. I can't put it back together and only have Jesus. And I can't put it back together and only love my family. If I put it back together, my family comes together and Jesus comes together. You see, if we... And in the kingdom, we sometimes fool ourselves. We sometimes convince ourselves that it is possible to be utterly offended with our siblings and still love Jesus the same. And Jesus is telling us here. He's making it very clear. Either if you say you are connected to me, but you are disconnected from your family, you're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Very, very. I mean, that. Now, when you begin to look at it like that, it changes. It changes a little bit. It sends a shiver of conviction of righteousness down your spine. Because now you begin to think about, well, what wrong relationships or what disconnected relationships do I live with? What relationships in my family am I ignoring? Right? Have you ever had a disconnect with either a brother and sister in Christ, or maybe it's because your real family? Well, sometimes this is our real family. So sometimes we can rub each other wrong. But where we go wrong is when we think that we can just ignore the disconnect. How many have ignored the disconnect and just pretended like it'll be all right? Yeah, we've all done that. See, the other day, me and my sister Mary, Mary's my sister-in-law, but we don't use that word in the family. We just, she's my sister. People say, and I'll talk about Louis, that's my brother. That's your brother-in-law. I don't use that word. But yeah, technically, yes. But the other day, we were in the office, and something passion, just something very, and listen, there's a lot of passion. In this family, a lot of passion. A lot of passion. Lots of passion. The pastor warned me when I proposed to Beck. He said, listen, just I want you to understand what you're getting yourself into. And I was like, yeah, I got this. And then we sit around a table, and you can't talk because there's so much passion. There's a lot of passion. Now, passion can be communicated in a lot of different ways. You know, you could be angry, passionately angry, passionately in love, but passion is passion. So the other day we was in the office and something passionate arised, and I had no idea about it. And so what I did immediately was I just kind of disconnected. I thought to myself, I don't really like where this is headed, so I'm going to remove myself from it. And I communicated disconnection. Now, I know none of you have ever done that. But I'm tactfully aware of when I'm doing it. So are you. You're tactfully aware of when you're like, you just kind of. And so I just kind of was like, all right, so when you just let me know, okay? And then I just walked out. And then I didn't get 50 steps away and God was all over me, man. Man, the Holy Spirit was just. Like, ask Josh. I sat down in the sanctuary in Lorraine, and I thought, oh God, leave me alone. I just want to be disconnected on this one. I don't want to have to deal with this one. And right away, God was like, no, you can't be connected to me. I'm not going to allow you to be disconnected that way to your family, and then think you can be connected to me. And he dealt me right there. And Becca was there, and I walked back in. I said, all right. And she said, you know, she just looks at me. And I'm like, all right. I go back in, and then I begin to communicate connection. I begin to use a language. My face changes. My body language, I lean in. Everything. There's a way to communicate that communicates connection, and there's a way to communicate that communicates disconnection. There's a language that we speak in the kingdom that communicates either we are. The language of heaven is love. But love has many dialects, doesn't it? Sometimes I go down to the southeast part of Ohio and do a little bow hunting. And I forgive you if you're not a bow hunter. But sometimes I go down there and do that. And I take my brother-in-law goes down with me. He's from there. Now, if you've never been there, there's a certain dialect in their English. Yeah, I don't know I've ever heard it. Like, I know, like, down south of Georgia, that has a dialect. But this particular location down there, they don't say McDonald's. They say McDonald's. Yeah, and I didn't realize it until we got down there. I was like, Creed, that's where you get your language from, man. That's why you say McDonald's and dollar. Dollar. You got a dollar I could borrow? What's a dollar, bro? That's a dollar. A dollar. But love has different dialects. And we have a video we want to show you that communicates the importance of understanding and being able to discern language. Watch the video.
Das hier ist mein Sektor. Das hier ist das wichtigste Gerät des Küstenwächters. Das Gerät und das Gerät. Überlebensradar.
Mayday, Mayday. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you... over. We are sinking.
Hello? This is the German Coast Guard.
We're sinking.
What are you thinking about?
Poor people drown.
No. So in trying to make this connection, this love connection, and keeping that heart-to-heart connection, sometimes there's a disconnect. And even when they disappoint you and they make mistakes, we talked about them being professional mistake makers, children, and even up to their adult children. They're professional mistake makers. So how do we keep our heart-to-heart connection while they're doing this? And being able to speak that language and chasing away fear with our love. They have an emotional love tank that they need filled. And so speaking their language and their love tank, when children's love tank is full, they're easily trained and disciplined. And discipline, again, is the definition is like guidance in the right direction. Now, I know that there's time for like a different kind of discipline.
More discipline.
They're younger, they need a timeout, maybe a SWAT, whatever they need. But there's times for those, and there's places where you set those things in place in your family.
How many were watching the news? It was on CNN, and they were telling everybody, hey, make sure you fill up your tank before you go to work this morning. And I watched the news, and I see all of these cars stranded on the road. And they said that, well, a lot of the people didn't keep their tanks filled, and then they got stuck in traffic, and they ran the risk of developing hypothermia because they ran out of gas. They didn't heed the warning. They didn't pay attention to the fact that they needed to fill their tanks up in case, you know, when the traffic jams come and when the tension rises, you if your tank is filled, you can weather the storm. But if your tank is not filled, it'll get real, real cold, real, real quick, because you're out of gas all of a sudden. And our children, and when she says our children, what I want you to, if you don't have children, or you know, we all have children because we're all part of the family of God, but I want you to understand that we are the children. We are His children. And when she says the children, you know, just take that as, well, I am the child here that God is saying, make sure your love tank is full. Make sure that you're paying attention to the warning signs that are coming across the bottom of the spiritual TV screen that are saying, you know, fill up your love tanks and keep them full.
So only unconditional love can help our children and just any relationship stay away from resentment, feelings of insecurity, feelings of being unloved and fear. But giving them a no matter what kind of love, showing them that you love them even when their behavior is poor and it's not what you expect from them, that will help them as they get older to be able to control anxiety, to be able to control themselves as they become adults and learn love. So when they're learning love, it's that connection from God to you, to them, and any relationship from you to another person. But as babies, they need the love, the touch. They're missing out. If they miss out on different levels, they're lacking as adults. So if you think there's so many adults walking around that missed out different stages, you know, their baby years, their toddler years, their adolescent years, their teenage years, and now they're walking around as broken adults. And so this applies to every age. But speaking your child's love language will fulfill their deep emotional need for love, and they need all five.
So there are five. Just
there's
so
five, and we're going to talk about those.
Right, but there they are.
The book, The Five Love Languages, there's five love languages. It's for adults, but there's also one for children.
How many have read that book?
By Gary Chapman.
By Gary Chapman?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And I've read that book, and I've like basically, I mean, it was years ago, and I like have every page, I think, highlighted and underlined. And I went back through it before we were getting ready to teach this. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I need to read this once a year. So it's just something that we have to keep our love on, keep it on, and keep up with to keep their tank full. Okay, I can keep going. But this is hard because you have to learn a language that's not yours. So you might know your love language, but just because you have a love language doesn't mean that somebody else's.
How many know your love language? Raise your hand. Amen.
And all of us need, I'll probably say it a couple of times, because I think it's really important that everyone needs all five, but most people are predominant in one or two areas. And usually the way that you feel loved is what you give as love. But that might not be somebody else's love language. So they're like, huh? They're kind of like that guy. What are you thinking about?
It's a different dialect. It's a language, but it's a different dialect.
Younger children under the age of 5 are usually hard to identify. So if you're kind of thinking like, well, what is, you know, I wonder what my kids is, or they're younger. They need all 5 anyway, so until they get a little older, just keep giving them all of them, and then maybe you can identify more. But when they are filled, think about when their behavior is acting out. There's so many different things. There's maybe they're tired, maybe they're hungry, all of those basic needs. But stop and think, is their love tank full? Like, okay, I know my child likes quality time. Have I been giving them this lately? And it might just be that. You might not have to discipline them so much as in a way of, you know, grounding or spanking or, you know, going to timeout or those kind of things. Because if usually, I mean, there's times, because we get it. They're all, you know, mistake makers and things that go on in their lives. But usually if their love tank is full, it's a lot easier to get along with and to train and discipline.
I've noticed that in the kingdom. When love tanks are neglected, when neglect is felt, then offense comes, right? You know, you feel as if like, how come they pick me to sing that song? How come he didn't even shake my hand? He didn't even hug me. You know, pastor didn't hug me today. He hugged so-and-so, but he didn't hug me. What's up with that? And you would think that, but you would think that that's childish. That's childish. But it just goes to prove that the love tank must be filled. And if it's not filled, we will operate in an offensive way. We'll come off and we will behave because of neglect. We will act out when we don't feel love. We were created to be full of love all the time. And you think about your children, and when they act out, they act foolish. And lots of times, not sometimes they do, but a majority of the time, they're acting out because there's a deficiency in love. They're not, you know, and so what they're doing is they're responding to the neglect that they feel of being loved. And we're all the same way. If Becca doesn't do certain stuff for me, I'll get hurt. And then what do I do? Like, what will I do? What? Lots of men won't admit this, but you act out. You act out. You slam cupboards, slam doors, stomp feet, stay away. I mean, I don't, you know, you disconnect, right? You disconnect. It's the same.
So keeping that will strengthen the connection, this love connection that we're trying to keep up with. But we're going to go ahead and talk about them, and we'll start with gifts. Gifts tell that person that it says to them, I am thinking about you. I was thinking about you even when I was away from you. And I was out at the store, or I pre-planned something that I knew that you really liked. Mm. So some people, they hear love by gifts.
Like, how many are gifts
so
in the room?
So meaningful if you know to them.
Yes.
Yeah, Troy is a huge gift giver.
That's me.
He loves
if you ever gave me a gift, I know what it is.
Now, the kiss of death for a gift love language person is you forgot. I forgot. Or, you can tell him. Go ahead. What I did.
No, you tell him.
Well, Troy, you feel like, I saw something, but go ahead.
Okay, so...
I don't do this anymore.
She doesn't do this anymore. She just, you know, if she sees something I like, she just waits and she gets it. But before, like, she would say, she'd come home from being at the store or something, and she'd say, oh, my gosh, Troy, I saw this one thing, and I was going to get it for you, and it was so cool. Like, there were shoes, and she would describe them, and she would, I would get excited, like, oh, my gosh, you got me, you know, and then she's like,
I don't know. It cost too much.
Yeah, she's like, they cost too much.
But
I thought about it. We're good.
So that is the kiss of death to a gifts person. And doing like if they, you know, I forgot your birthday, or I forgot Mother's Day, or just something that was special to them, an event that was good, you know, that they expected something from you, and you forgot. That's it's like crushing. And I know gifts are hard for somebody like me because I'm frugal. So it's like, oh, like, but it cost too much. I was going to get it, but we didn't have the money for that. Like, you know, we didn't have, you know, so it's hard to do that. But it doesn't have to be like with children. Sometimes with precious,
she said, with children. She looked at me. She said, with children.
Well, with children, big kids, little kids, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But like with precious, I would get a little toy because she's gifts. Like I said, though, kids are all five. I mean, we're all five, but she definitely has her dad's love language. But I'll just go through McDonald's. You know, I'm getting a coffee. Oh, I'll get her a little toy. I'll put it in the seat when I pick her up from school. So it's not something that has to be, you know, expensive things, but it just says to them, I was thinking about you when I was away from you. And they're, they just feel loved. Just like, oh, you love me so much. And so even though I messed up a lot with that, I got to fix it with a really good gift for Troy. So if you have that picture, you can put it up. And this face says it all. I hope they have the picture. Yay. It's not that easy to see.
Oh, yeah, you really can't.
It's kind of dark. But his face was like, oh, he was pointing at his gift. I got him a gun that he wanted. And it was a big deal for him because he knew, like, that it's a guy store, first of all. I've been in there like twice and it was really scary and I'm buying a gun. Oh my gosh, this is, you know, I had to do the whole check thing and it was really hard. So when I got it, he was in shock. Like, I think I filled his tank for a long time.
Wow.
I'm good.
I mean,
for
still,
like a year
still,
maybe.
Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I ever take it out and look at it, whew, that's a boss gun. Like, that is, whew.
It was his 40th
birthday.
And
men are jealous of it, too. I'm like, yeah, that's it. My wife bought that book.
Yeah, everyone in the store was like, wow, man, what a lucky man he is. So I'm good. I fixed the whole, you know.
Absolutely.
But
all is well.
I didn't get it.
All
I fixed
well.
That. It's all good now.
But it's important that you know the language of the person you're communicating love to, that you know how to communicate that language. Because when she did it, it told me that, you know, you took the initiative to speak my language. You went out of your way. You went into an environment that is very uncomfortable. I know how frugal you are. Like, I know that to do that was like,
I was sweating. When I think about it, I still get sweaty.
Like, so it really communicated above and beyond, like, how much love there was there.
And our kids will learn that, too. When they see that, when they're receiving that love, they'll learn it. And also the opposite way. They learn it the opposite way, too, that painful, you know, if it is their love language or they just, you forgot about them. It also works for the opposite, which creates that disconnection, which creates that resentment. With teenagers, if you think about, I mean, you don't pour into them love and then you're going to try to tell them what to do? I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure if you know any teenager, it's all been like that. I remember I call them my stupid years. So I remember, like, in those years, people would, you know, look at me shh, or say something to me in church or in youth group or whatever. And I'm like, you don't even know me. Like, why are you telling me what to do? And so it has that feeling. There's a disconnect there. Like, you haven't poured into me. I don't have a connection with you. But when you have that connection, when you think about a relationship that you have.
Oh, I got the perfect story.
With a teenager,
they're
ready to listen.
How many know Ashley Craker? Ashley, she, you know, John and
she's
Lisa.
Not here, so we can talk about her.
Well, you know, Ashley was a tough nut. Like, she was quite the stinker, and she'll tell you that. She'll admit it. She'll own it. And she would just give you dirty looks, you know, just
stink.
Kind of just look at you, give you the stink eye. And we made it our mission to win her with love. And so one time she went. I don't know how she got. She was out at camp. She went to camp, and we heard her talking about chicken nuggets. How much she loved chicken nuggets. And so me and Becca said, you know, we just got back in the car and we drove a long ways to get those chicken nuggets. Because, you know, in Vermilion, Beulah Beach, like McDonald's is like way across, you know. And so we drove, picked up like 50 pack of chicken McNuggets, you know. And then we brought them back and we gave them to her. And ever since that day, me and Ashley have been peas and carrots, man. Like, she just, like, all of a sudden, a connection was made that you can't, it just won't come apart. It's a powerful force. That's how God loves us.
And also when they start to grow up, like Jeremiah, now he knows, he gets it. We can tell him, like, hey, you know his love language is gifts too. So he'll buy gifts. Like, he buys Troy shoes because he loves shoes.
Keeps me fresh.
He'll buy him shoes and he'll buy him stuff. And I'm like, okay, you know, so they get it. They start to get how to give back and they can understand and how to keep that connection on their end too. We better go on to touch.
Touch.
But physical touch is another one. And it's a lot of, there's people that they just feel connected. You just walk up to them. You pat them on the back.
How many are physical touch? Raise your hand if you're physical touch. You are, Mary. You are physical touch.
If you think about it, you can almost identify
you can go, yep, yep,
main
yep,
gifts yep. of what... And there's some like people that like they'll wrestle. There's boys, you know, but that's their love language. They need that. They need that touch. They need just a hug or, you know, just a rub on the back, just something that they feel. Oh, okay. I feel that connection now. And the kiss of death for that can be, oh, don't touch me. Come on. You know, cause little kids, they want to hang on you and it's hot. Oh my gosh. And if that's their love language and they're needing their tank filled right then. That's complete insecurity.
But to us, you know, like to other people, like Becca is a touch me not.
But
so
I'm learning though.
If you really want to make Becca uncomfortable,
no,
just hug
true.
Her a lot. Just you
it's
know,
it's not true.
Just you know, just
get a stranger.
Get all
like,
up in
you know,
there.
But I know.
No, she's
I
very do. Uncomfortable.
I'm
with
not
it.
A, just that's just not my language. But I do it because I love people, so I do. Mm-hmm. I do hug.
Yeah, I mean,
well, Dominic, he's a, you guys probably, you most of you know Dominic, Mary's son, our nephew. He is such a physical touch kid. He will make you uncomfortable with it. Like
not a
just
problem.
Go up and hug. And some
in
people
a public
don't,
place,
yeah,
a restaurant.
And they don't know, like, is you know, because, I don't know, we're only like 17 years apart or something. So they'll look like, why is that kid hugging you so long? He'll just hug. And I'm like, okay, Dominic, I love you too. And he won't let go. And he's still hugging. And he's still... And I'm like, okay, let go. But he's doing it to be silly, but that is his love
language.
Yeah. He has to, like, touch. I'm like, okay, just hug. And he'll do it in an uncomfortable way. Jeremiah's not a
Jeremiah's like
touch.
His mom.
And he went, when we, he'll just go and, like, attack him and do it on purpose and, you know, just kiss him on the face and, you know, just whatever, just to mess with
him. I pick him up from school or something, I'm like... Makes, you know, it's just totally uncomfortable. It's like,
can't do it. It's like, that's okay. Everybody is all five. So I do need hugs sometimes too. Acts of service is another one. And this one is kind of hard unless you are an acts of service.
How many
person.
Are acts of service? Yeah. Yeah. This one,
yeah.
This one's probably the toughest, to identify. To identify because it gets confused a lot with
you're
you're kind of lazy. Like, why don't you do that yourself?
Your
you know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah. Like my brother Louis, he is that. So if he's got a project going on, like me, if I got a project going on, probably you wouldn't even know about it. I'm not going to tell everybody. I got this, right? But Louis was like doing his floors and stuff.
No, he was renovating an entire house.
Oh, he was renovating an entire house in like 3 days.
Right after he had a 1-month-old baby too.
So something so ridiculous, right? He was doing that, and so I was getting ready to do something, and I said, Josh, we got to go over to Louis' house, because I have to help him. Why, man? There's a whole bunch of people over there. Let's go do what we're doing. No, it's not about that. It's not about that. It's if I don't go over there, he's gonna be like, man, how come you didn't come over and help me, man? Man, and he'd be all offended and helping you either, man. That's how he'd get. But for me, it's hard for me. I have to take a mental note of it. Just so you know, your pastor is that. He is an acts of service. He is. So if I'm going to a meeting and pastor's there, I'm bringing a cup of coffee. Really? Like, not because he wants it, but because... Even if you didn't, I thought about you, and look, I'm serving you. Because you have to, and for us, you know, for how many are not this, raise your hand. If you're not an acts of service, raise your hand. How many, it drives you crazy when your kids are like, can you cook me breakfast? Dion's that way.
Yeah.
Dion, our nephew's that way. He will wake up, sit at the table and look at you like.
And before we knew all of this, we were like, man, that boy is lazy.
He will sit at the table like this and be like.
But now, till this day, when he was home.
Listen, you want some breakfast? Go get it. I'm not, who am I? I'm not your daddy. Go get it yourself. You know what I mean?
But when he came home at Christmas time, now that we know, it's like, oh, Dion, what do you want? I made sure I had pancakes and because he loves pancakes for breakfast. I'm like, do you want some pancakes? Okay, sure. So, you know, I'm like making a whole bunch of pancakes and bringing it to him and warming up the syrup. And because I know that is going to, that's depositing and filling that love tank. And people that have that love language, they need that. They need you to anticipate what they need and then meet it. Like I said, we're all five, so everybody has a little bit of this. It does show love, even if it's not your primary. That shows you love. Because I don't think it's my primary, but I
know. It's in no way mine. Because sometimes Becca will try to do this for me. She'll say, would you like some more coffee in the morning? I got it. She'll say, do you want me to get you something to eat? I got that too. I'm good. So those who aren't that, you're like, why are you asking? This is weird. Like, I am capable of getting up and going to the coffee pot and doing that myself. I'm good.
But one night, because I like my kitchen clean in the morning. Mm. I don't know. Most of you, especially women, are probably like that. But I cannot stand to wake up in the morning and there's just, it's dirty. Like the counters are dirty. The sink is, it just feels yucky in the morning.
How many mothers are like that? Raise your hand.
Yes. Like, right. And so Jeremiah's home for like a month at Christmas break. And so it's like, oh boy, we got dishes and stuff.
Oh my
everywhere.
Gosh. It's like dishes.
Cups. I'm like, oh my gosh, those cups. And he knows that I'm like that. And at least one time he did this. So I have to like, it wasn't all a lot, but it was one time. I woke up, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, he cleaned. He put everything in the dishwasher. The counters were wiped down. And so that definitely was like, oh, okay. You know, it fills your love tank, even if it's not your primary.
But he did it on purpose.
Yeah, he did it because he knew that was my.
He did it intentionally.
But the kiss of death to that is what's important to you is not important to me. And that's complete rejection. It's like, oh, okay. You know, and there's rejection there. And so when you feel rejected, that disconnect is completely.
It disconnects.
Fine. You know, and you're just, there's the wall. And when your children feel that, and teenagers feel that, there's definitely right then and there, it is going to be really hard to discipline and guide them and train them in the way that you want to get into them and what you want them to
and
do.
The flow of heaven stops. The flow of heaven stops in that moment. We all know it. We all know. That's why we all feel yucky when we get into fights with our siblings or our children. The flow of heaven is like, it's dry. It's like, and you're like, you're faced with this conviction of, I have to fix this right now. Because I can't have heaven stopped up in my life.
We have to clean up our messes. And there's ways that we can. So this is part of it. The next one we're going to talk about is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation, compliment them, enjoying that person, responding to them, like, they're great, they're fun. It shows affirmation. They are waiting for you to tell them, good job, you did it. Oh, my gosh, you're awesome, you're wonderful. And even if it's really hard to find something awesome and wonderful, find something and fill their tank, especially kids. Kids need this. Don't care what their number one is. They definitely need every bit of this because they're waiting for that approval.
I mean, you think about when you're a kid, like, and you're in, like, kindergarten, they give you your crayons, and you, like, you can just draw just nothing. You can color nothing, and you take it home, and what does everybody say? You stick it on the refrigerator. You're taking pictures, putting it on Facebook. You're tweeting about it. You're lying about it, right? But then as we get older, We kind of neglect this affirmation. We consider it to be what? Childish. Consider like, they don't need to hear that. Grow up. Right? Just grow up. Get on your big boy pants and be, you know, just mature a little bit. But it's the same. It's the same. As we get out of kindergarten, they take our crayons and they steal our crayons. They take away nap time and they stop affirming us. It's terrible. terrible. I want my crayons back.
But when they feel that love and that their tank is filled and they're affirmed, oh, I'm free. There's no fear. I'm free. I can do anything. Like, everybody thinks I'm awesome. I can walk in what God has called me to walk in and be who God has called me to be. They're ready to go. And so it's so important to have that.
I think this one is really important for our youth and our young, our children's ministry on up until, 20 some years of age. My boys still call me. And, like my son, Caleb, he calls me and says, Dad, I just feel like, so he's just venting. And so I just start affirming him. I just start telling him, no, Caleb, you're awesome at this. And I just start telling him, what he's going to do and how he can use his gift and he can do this and he can do that. And before long, he's like, thanks, Dad. All right, man, I got to go. And then he calls me the other day. He's on a date. He's on a date. And he calls me to talk about, which is really weird. Yeah, it's real controversial. He's like, hey, Dad, I'm in the car and we're having this discussion. You ever get those religious questions as parents, because I don't know, for some reason you're supposed to have all the answers. He says, look, hey, Dad, we're on our way, get something to eat, and got me on speakerphone. So he puts me on the spot. And he's like, Dad, what do you think about, what do you think about homosexuals? You know what I mean? I'm like, Caleb, can you put the phone in your ear real quick? But then suddenly, you can tell, like, a child that's affirmed will have confidence to approach their parents with anything, They just call you and say, hey, Dad, what do you think about homosexuality? Hey, Dad, what do you think about smoking marijuana? Like, really? Like, because look, Dad, you love me and you affirm me, so I'm not afraid of you. I know that you're going to give me you're going to affirm me. Every once in a while, I'll go to the hospital and do a hospital call and get your ticket validated. I was watching this thing the other day, and you get your ticket validated, and they showed this guy. He was looking for somebody to validate his ticket,
Like a YouTube video.
Yeah, like a YouTube video. Funny. I was watching it. So this guy's walking around this building. He's looking for somebody to validate his parking ticket. And so he walks up to the window, and he hands the guy.
He's all depressed at first.
Yeah, he's all somber and sullen, and he hands the guy the ticket, and the guy just leans into him. He says, "You know what, man? You're going to change the world. You're awesome. There's nothing you can't do. I believe in you. You're good looking." And before long, the guy's like, "You think so? You really think so?" And the guy puts his shoulders back. And by the end of it, he's like, "All right, man, thanks a lot. I'll see you later." But it just goes to show, like, everybody needs affirmed. Everybody needs words of affirmation. It's healthy for us. It encourages us. It lets us know, like, yeah, man, I am all those things. And so I really think it's important for our children, our youth, that we communicate consistently, constantly, tell them who they are. Even before they're born, Neff, one of the worship leaders out west, she sent me a text and she said, I'm having a girl, she's pregnant, and the doctor said that the baby's going to have cysts on its brain or something, something, something. And so right away, I started affirming what God says about her unborn baby. I say, your baby is, it's going to be healthy, and your baby actually is going to refute words of injustice in the earth, and all those words that are coming in. So I just started affirming the unborn baby and started declaring what God declared over that baby. And before long, she sent me back a text. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I needed that. So we need to do that constantly with one another. If we notice somebody's looking sad, somebody's got their chin down, just that's like, for those of us whose tanks are full, like, look around and go, "You're awesome," and just take the opportunity to fill the tanks with the affirmation.
Because we need each other healthy. We need you. You need me healthy. I need you healthy. We can't be Jesus. We can't look like him if we're all walking around unhealthy. So that was a side note. But then, the kiss of death for this, the kiss of death is the wrong kind of words. You're angry. Why did you do that again? What is wrong with you? And all they see, there's anxiety is climbing, and it's building up, and it's building up. And it's like sand blowing in their eyes. it's like a sandstorm of words are coming out of your mouth, and it's just blowing into their face, and their amygdala is getting juiced up, and they're getting if that's your primary love language, and someone is giving you the opposite, and they're angry, and their tone is rising, and you're just immediately whoop, and they just shut down.
You're gonna run away. Your first response is going to be either to protect your space, protect yourself with violence if need be, but you're going to protect, you know, your amygdala is going to, if when it flares up, we have flight or fight. We're going to run or we're going to box, you know, one or the other. And our kids are no different. We're no different. When those violent words, I used to work, you know, for a city in Lorraine. I worked for the city of Lorraine for 10 years. And you know, I worked in the garage, you know, so, you know, they were kind of abrasive with one another in a garage, right? They're a little abrasive. A little bit. And the F word's like a conjunction there, you know what I mean? It's just, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, and so we'd be out working 2-3 days at a time, and the snow would be falling, be out plowing snow, and I remember this one night, the foreman got on the radio and started just giving me the proliferations of profanity, and just, I mean, aggressively coming at me. Man, like my first response was so unredeemed. Like I wanted to fight. I put that truck and drove back as fast as I could back to base, you know. I threw the truck in park that slid all the way up into the building. I jumped out of the truck, kicked in the door. I might be a Christian, but I wanted a peace. I said, hey, you ever talk to me like that again, we can punch our cards and go across the road. I had to repent later, but it really felt good at that moment. But you know, when you're spoken to in that way, what does it do? You're either going to fight or you're going to run. You're going to shut down or you're going to fight back. Violence, reciprocated violence is not the kingdom. Reciprocated violence is not the kingdom. And so, you know, we have to learn how to communicate a language of affirmation, which is love. It's a dialect of love in the kingdom. Love has a language for us.
So when you're correcting your child, that is or anybody, when you have to have that conversation.
Confrontation.
Some kind of confrontation. When you have to do that with words of affirmation, that's our main love language person, do the sandwich effect. Start with them. You know, okay, well, yeah, I have to talk to you, you know, son, you did really bad on your test today, or the teacher called, and, you know, I really like how your room is looking right now, you did a nice job cleaning, or, you know, give them something to open up with, but now we got to talk, like, you didn't do this, I'm going to have to take your phone for the next week, whatever, and then you're ready to, like, you got the foot in there, you're ready to discipline.
Even if they know what you're doing, it still works.
It does work.
Even if they know what you're doing.
And then end with that. But I love you.
End with I love you. Yeah.
I love you, and I know that you'll do better next time. I know next time you'll make a better choice.
So what I should have did with the guy in the garage is, hey, Tony J.
Give him a hug.
You're
right?
Awesome. You know what? You're the best foreman ever. If you ever talk to me like that again, I'm going to stick my foot, you know, in the nether regions. But I love you. Sandwich effect, you get it, sandwich effects.
Not the foot thing, though, you can leave that one out. But the next one, the last one we're going to talk about is quality time. Quality time, love language person, is you have to give them time to listen, engage them. Don't just act like you're there. Like, they feel loved when you show interest in them. When you're doing things with them, they enjoy and act like you enjoy it. Like,
how many are quality time?
I know he's pointing at me. I could feel it. But you and your child, if your child is quality time, which, like I said, all five, they need all five. But, you know, when they get home from school, just give them that first 10 minutes. Give them that first 5 minutes. I remember when Precious was really little, I used to come home from work and I would just sit on the floor with her. And I didn't even care if I put my purse or my shoes away yet. Just play with you. I'm going to give you my first 5-10 minutes and let's do this. And then it's, oh, you know, I feel better. I know Detroit, and I know when I'm doing it, but I don't care because I just need my tank. So I'm like, doop, 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 and I just go on and on about my day. And he's like, but if he's looking at his phone or if he's just like, Yeah, and they're not, you know when they're not really there. Everybody knows. You're not stupid. Like, you can feel when they're not connected to you. So, and, like, engage with them. Go to the store. If they like to go to the store, don't just go and sit on the bench and be like, all right, Becca, when you get done, let me know. Like, go with them. And, oh, yeah, look at this shirt. That's really nice. Like, act like you enjoy it.
I'll do that to Becca, and she'll know what I'm doing. Like, she will know, but it doesn't even matter. Doesn't even. Becca likes to take walks. She likes to take walks. And if the, listen, if the sun is shining and it's above 30 degrees, she wants to take a walk.
That's warm.
And to me, I'm like, it's cold outside. I don't want to go for a walk.
Or he likes to, if he's in the woods, he's like, I'm hunting, you know? So, well, I'll get him to come.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like me and Precious are walking and we're like, where did Daddy go? He's over here, like, following a deer track somewhere. And he's gone. So I'm like, okay, there went our quality time.
Hey, guys, that's not quality time. That's not quality
time. Not quality time. So doing something that they enjoy doing, not just what you know, want to do or just
but I've learned.
Being
I've learned,
halfway there.
I've learned that when I get home, like, just put stuff down and sit at the table and lean in. And get ready, because you know, if you know those people that talk and you haven't spoke, I always find it weird.
I don't do that bad.
No, you're not. I always find it weird when people do that to me, when they just talk.
You're like, aren't they tired?
And you're like, I haven't talked. You're saying this to yourself. I haven't talked in 10 minutes. I mean, I shook my head once, but that's not, I haven't talked. And how is that a conversation? I don't know, but it's quality time for them. They're like, you've given me your attention, and now I'm just gonna communicate with you. You know,
like, they need their love tank filled. So when you're filling it, they feel that feel that connection. The kiss of death to this is I'm too busy, or it's this. Oh yeah, what'd you say? You know, you're not engaged, or. You know, it's, yeah, I'll be out here on the bench. Or you're with your kids and, you know, it's hard. Like, I'm on my phones and emails and all that kind of stuff a lot, too. And you know, your kids know. They're like, Mom, you're not listening to me. Or, you know, you're not really there. Or you're not really playing with them. You're not really engaged with them. But when they feel that love, they feel that connection. A lot of times, too, people are like, oh, man, I missed it. And there's times where it hurts and you know you've hurt somebody else. Or maybe you didn't get those love languages growing up. But we can clean up our messes. We can clean them up. And having the Holy Spirit help us and speak to us and having that heart-to-heart connection with Him, then we're able to have it with each other. And we can clean up our messes. Like I said, I'm going to need to read this book like once a year, maybe twice a year, just to help me remember. And lay your life down again. Lay your life down again. If you messed up, okay, they need refilled. They need their love tank filled again. They need their emotions, their love and their emotions filled again. Okay, I'm going to lay my life down, and I'm going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do it again because they need that connection. And when you do, you're driving out fear. It's a powerful connection that will drive away fear, and they're ready. They're ready to be poured into.
I'm going to close with this particular scripture. It's found in Matthew 22, 34 to 40. And this is in the Message version as well. But it says, when the Pharisees heard how he had bested the Sadducees, they gathered their forces for an assault. And one of their religious scholars spoke for them, posing a question they hoped would show him up. Teacher, which command in God's law is the most important? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your... And pay attention to how the expression here, it's so powerful. Love the Lord your God with all of your passion and prayer and intelligence. He's like, listen, you have to love God with passion. Jesus here, you need to communicate to God your love for Him with passion. Passionless Christians are confusing. They confuse me. Because how can Bruno Mars sing a song at a halftime show about something that lacks the passion that we have? I mean, he can sing with such passion, but sometimes we gather together in his name, the one who resurrected from the dead, The one who defines what passion is. And we can come in here and just be blah. It just doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't make any sense. So people often say, Troy, you are just like charged on 10 all the time. Man, I'm full of... Because listen, my sin, he took, came up out of the grave. Now I'm alive forever. That is something to get excited about. That is something to sing about. And then he says, love the Lord your God with prayer. Meaning, communicate your love for God. Communicate with God. How much you love him. Like, talk to him. Tell him. Like, don't just tell him on Sunday. Don't just tell him on Wednesday. Don't just tell him in the morning. Like, communicate throughout the day. Love needs to be communication. Then he says, listen, love is intelligent. Love is intelligent. Think about how to love God. Be creative in how you love God. And then Jesus says, that's how you love God. Now watch how you love one another. And then he says, this is the first and most important one, the first on any list. But there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commandments are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs on them. Then he says, love the way you love God, love each other the same way. Love with all of your passion. Love our kids with all of our passion. You know, my kids, my son the other day, I'm talking to him, he's 17 years old. I'm like, how much does daddy love you? He's like, what? How much does daddy love you? He knows how to answer that question more than all the tea in China. And then I say, does daddy love you when you're good? He say, yep. Do I love you when you're bad? Yep. Do I love you when you're sad? Yep. When does daddy love you? All the time, dad. All the time. Like that. Communicate passion. Communicate passion to one another. Like, be passionate about this love. Like, when we interact with one another, we should go subsurface all the time. That's, you know people that are like that, they just go down below the surface right now. Like, I'm not going to let you, bang, I'm just going to communicate to you love. Love with passion. Then he says, pray. Pray about how to, communicate that love to one another. If you love God through prayer, how are you communicating to your sisters and brothers and your children this language of love? And then he says, intelligence. Love them with all of your intelligence. We should love one another with intellect. We should be so thoughtful of one another. So considerate towards one another. So forgiving. Like, we should be always contemplating how I can, I got this assignment I'm looking forward to fulfilling, to communicate love to this person. It's like, I got it here and I'm like, I can't wait to, like, what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to, but it's thought out. It's well thought out. Like, I'm thinking about it. We should be creative in how we communicate love to one another. And tonight, if you've never been loved the way you were created to be loved, God wants to fill that up for you. He wants to fill your tank up. You say, somebody told me the other day, no one's ever given me a birthday present my entire life. I was like, oh, I'll make sure you have a birthday party. And we're all going to go and we're all going to bring gifts and we're going to communicate to you on behalf of the Father. On behalf of our daddy, because our daddy, that's how we honor him. I love you. My love for you honors him. And so, if you've never been loved the way you were created, like the way your language, if it's never been spoken to you, I just pray God would fill you up right now. Come on, if you're gifts, I pray that us in this room, that we in this room would be so intelligent about our love that we would pick up on it. We would pick up on it. You know? If your acts of service, this right here, this connection right here, we're gonna honor our Father and we're gonna love this way, so that way this way stays connected. We want heaven to be flowing all the time. Come on, stand to your feet with me tonight. Let's pray together as we close. Lord, I pray for every person tonight that's present. Everybody watching online. I pray they would sense the deep fulfilling of love in their life. I pray that you would heal the wounds of deficient love. For those that have not been loved the way that they were created, the way they desire to be loved, I pray that you would fill them up now. I pray that you would make us as the family of God so aware of deficient love tanks that surround us. I pray they would like glow in the dark, God, that in the spirit we would pick up on it. Our spirits would be so in tune with yours that when you speak, we can pick it up and we know who needs loved and how they need to be loved. Because Lord, you said they will know us based upon how we love one another. Oh God, we want you to be known throughout the world. We want you to be honored and glorified throughout the world. So God, we pick up our mess tonight. We clean it up and we say, God, use us, speak to us. Clean us up, God. Speak to us and teach us how to love again. Teach us how to be one as you are one. And I pray for you tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know him, I pray that you would surrender your sin tonight. You can surrender it tonight. You can let go of it. If that's you tonight, just give it over. You are not made to carry that sin. That sin's been paid for on the cross. Jesus Christ died and paid for your sin so that you could live. And it's real simple. You just say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I feel the weight of it and I don't want to carry it any longer. I want my life to have purpose and meaning. And I know that you're the Son of God. I believe it now. I believe it now. I sense your spirit speaking to me and I want to live for you. I confess you as my Lord. And I pray that you would take my life that's been such a mess and make a miracle of it. God, make a testimony of me tonight. If you're watching online or if you're in this room, I just pray tonight you would receive Christ. We bless you tonight. We love you, Jesus. You are awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I get some altar ministers to come forward? And if you need prayer tonight, if you maybe gave your life to the Lord tonight, you're in here tonight and you gave your life to the Lord, or you just need prayer, maybe you're feeling deficient in your love tank and you need prayer for this or that. If you need healing in your body, you need baptized in the Spirit, we want to pray for you tonight. So you could just come as we close. God bless you. Thank you for coming out tonight. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard, but don't move yet. So the family that needs, you want me to pray in the service? Who gave this to you? Can we? Yeah, just call them. Call them up. There's a family that needs prayer. Can we pray for you? Okay, so when she comes in, we're going to pray for her. We'll get some anointing oil. We'll lay hands and the elders will pray, okay? Amen. God bless you. The altars are open. You can come and receive prayer for you. God bless you. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you Sunday.